You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What's up, everyone? I'm your host, KJ Allison, and we're back with another episode of Not Even D2. This episode features Darius Hopkins, former standout player at Utica University. Darius currently plays professionally overseas in Italy. Hear about what brought him to Utica, how he developed to one of the best scorers to ever play at Utica, and how he plans to use basketball to give back to younger kids in the future. Appreciate you all for tuning in, and enjoy the episode. We're here with my boy Darius. How we doing? Super excited to have you on, by the way.
I'm good, man. Appreciate you. I'm excited to have this happen. I know we've been trying to plan this for a few weeks now, so it's good to finally get it going.
Yes, sir. So you're from Florida, where there are zero Division III schools, and I want to hear about what impacted your decision to want to come play Division III at Utica University.
So it was really the whole like recruiting process and just how things happened. So I was talking to some local schools, some in Tampa, some in South Florida, other schools in the South, and things either fell through or communication fell off. And Coach Coffey has seen me at a camp, I believe, up in Boston, before one of my AAU tournaments. And the communication started from that point on. And around the time I started taking visits, I decided to take a visit up to Utica. It was it's funny, I actually was visiting a school in Manhattan called Sarah Lawrence. And my mom and I, we got there, we started walking around, kind of like, And on some like last minute, like, I mean, Utica's three and a half hours up, let's just drive up and just see what it's like, and then we could fly back. And you know, and so actually when I got there, it was like a like really warm welcome. I got to meet the team, and I like the team atmosphere. I like how, you know, Coach Coffey was conducting things. And we had looked online at the school, and we saw like the record from the year before like improved drastically. So we're like, okay, it's looking like he's knowing what he's doing. So after the visit, I had a really good feeling after that, and it felt like the best fit. I wanted to go somewhere and play right away. I wasn't trying to go somewhere and sit in the bench and go through any of that. So everywhere else was going to require me to go prep. University Navy was telling me to go prep, places like that. So I ended up at Utica, and that was the best decision I made, honestly.
Yeah, I respect it. And Coach Coffey's been one of the winningest coaches in our region. He's always got good teams at Utica. What is it about the culture that he's building over there that allows Utica to be so good every year?
The first thing that he built it on was accountability. My first year there, it was just holding yourself and others accountable on the team. And so in order to do that, it had to be a sense of maturity. And from there, he cultivated a player-led program. So, you know, he's the head of it. He's going to run everything. He's going to have the decisions, blah, blah, blah. But when it came to certain decisions, he would sit back and let us communicate and figure things out. And because of that, we were forced to grow through a lot of situations. And you just kind of see the results just kind of unfold. In like bigger moments in games, we were able to put our heads together, and you know, he would have what he needed to say, but we would also have a big part of timeouts or decisions or plays, or even, you know, sometimes like, okay, hey, sub this person in to run this. And it proved out to be like very successful. Still is. They still win.
Yeah. Now you could definitely see that Coffee, obviously he's the head of it, but he does give you guys a lot of freedom. And I think that really helps some of your guys' games, allowing you just like, oh, you're on an island, go work. Like, we don't need to run a structure play every single possession. We're going to let you guys work out a little bit. So definitely respect that.
Yeah, that was another big thing, is he is a former pro. So he understands certain or a lot of basketball. It isn't plays. Like, you know, you'll have your quick hitters and you'll have your structure. But after a while, teams scout you. Plays break down, people cheat plays. What can you do after that play breaks down to make something happen? And so his biggest advice to, like, me, for example, was I'm not going to water down your game, but I'm going to give you certain structure and rules to live by. And you're going to be better off. Your numbers, your percentages will be better off if you live by these rules. And so all you have to do is buy in, and you'll see how the efficiency will shoot up, your averages will go up, and the more that he can trust you, the longer that leash is. So that's definitely something that's been, like, extremely helpful for me and a lot tough. Of other people in the program.
That's definitely tough. So you played in the Empire 8 at Utica, and ton of great teams, great players. Do you have a top rival that you battled against, whether that's a player or a team?
It started off as Fisher, because that was his former team. As we got to, like, my sophomore, junior year, it became Naz, and it's been Naz. To me, I think that was the most personal game that we played. And I can't really say it's like a rival, like one-on-one player, but just as a team in a program, it was definitely Naz.
Was it like a beef type of thing, or is just always competitive battles?
It was just always extremely competitive battles, and that's nothing to take away from Fisher. Fisher is also a really good program, and those are always great battles. And, you know, they got us last year in Empire A and the semis, so they definitely know what they're doing over there. But it's just like with Naz, it was just an extra added layer of, like, you know, it's respect, but, like, I don't want to lose this game. I don't like you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I cannot lose this game. Like, so I think last year, my fifth year was the first time we've ever beat them, I think twice. And the regular season, home and away, and, like, the game at their place was crazy, coming down from, I think it was like 10 points with like 2 minutes left. And it's just that extra added tension to those games. I just, yeah, they're definitely a top rival.
Yeah, that's tough. During your time at Utica, you won the Empire 8, you won league titles, you've won Defensive Player of the Year. You also played in the NCAA tournament. What was the locker room vibe on? What was more important throughout the years, whether that's winning Empire 8 or getting an at-large bid for the NCAAs?
The first step was winning a conference championship. And then once we experienced how that was, it was like we wanted another. And we fell short in a back-to-back year by 1 point, and that hurt a lot. But that was the goal each year. It was like, okay, let's go a step at a time. Let's get a conference championship. Let's just try to get that automatic bid. After getting to the tournament last year, which I'll be honest, it did kind of shock me, because if I thought it was going to be a year we made it, it was going to be the year before. I feel like we got snubbed. I feel like a lot of people in the committee did. So that one surprised me. But I was very, like, grateful that we got to that, because that was like the last, like, big box to check. Because, you know, we've been saying we want to get to a tournament, we want to experience that. So But the first goal each year is an Empire 8. Like that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to win conference championships and stamp that as a program legacy and then get to the tournament.
Yeah. We'll dive in more into specifics on those games when you lost by one. But right now, I want to hear about your fourth in Utica history in points scored. And I want to hear about what allowed you to be such an effective scorer.
I feel like it was a mix of things. You know, I stay in the gym. I love the game, like, deeply. And I have a lot of joy and fun in the process and getting better. I feel like it's not many things in this world that's better. That's a better feeling than feeling yourself improve at something and seeing it, like, unfold on the court. Like, you know what I'm saying? You will understand it. Like, oh, I just been working on this, and you see it happen in the game. You know, you kind of run back on defense like, oh. I was kind of tough. I've been working on that. So that's a great feeling. But he gave me the keys. He let me grow. My freshman year, I came, I think, yeah, second in the freshman year runner-up or freshman of the year race. And after that, he was like, you know, your minutes have been down this year. I was just playing around with lineups to see how things are, but I'm not going to do that next year. I'm going to just give you a set amount of minutes. And if I, you know, see you're doing what you need to do, those minutes will increase. I came back that year and I stepped into a bigger role because Avery Carson, he had got hurt early in the season. He tore his ACL, so he was out. So I was asked to step up and, from that point on, it kind of went from there. Me and Coach Coffey's trust is bloomed. So he definitely played a huge part in that. He allowed me to be me. He didn't take any parts out of my game. He let me keep that tough shot maker side of me while teaching me how to play team ball and making the proper reads. And I believe that's what led to the, you know, personal accolades. And although the personal accolades, I had great teammates around me all those years. So it definitely makes it easier when, you know, Kobe Lufkin and Hamlin and Chris Green and, you know, a long list of names I can kick the ball up to and teams got to respect them. So,
yeah. One thing I always respected about your game is you're effective in the ISO game and you can really, like, get to any spot you really want to and rise up or get to the cup. So what are you looking for when you're in an isolation situation?
First thing I do is I check the help side and see where the help is, see where the openings are in the court. That'll kind of tell me which way to attack. So once I check that, I look at feet and defensive positioning. How far is somebody off of me? Did they react to, you know, certain jab steps a certain way? Are their feet really solid? Or are they very, you know, happy feet, who would call them? They jump around a lot. And that's, you know, just the things that I look at initially. And then I think of as I go and process the game, okay, where are the soft spots? Where have I gotten my shots off, if I've gotten any off right now? So, I store all that data, and then that's what I look for in any ISO situation. So if they're backed off, if I can get them to back off a little bit more off of a hang, a pull up, or if I know I can get by them, I try to set them up, change the pace, and just blow by them. So, yeah, it's like very small things, but the very first thing I check is the help side because I need to know where help is coming from and how to determine the direction I go.
Yeah, I do want to talk about that hang move a little bit. It seems like when guarding you, I always felt like your feet were always moving. So when you're dribbling and your feet are moving, I'm thinking you're going to go to the cup every time. So I start playing off a little bit, but you got that hang in you to rise up. So do you think that that's your go-to move, or is that just something you saw from me that allowed you to rise up?
It's definitely something I get to a lot because it's a change of pace and it gives me time to read. I would say my go-to move very heavily, at least at Utica. My go-to setup was a double between the legs. That was my, a lot of my situations, that was my first go-to move, was a double between the legs. And I would use that to read the help side and go from there. But the hang was in a lot of situations. It just is so many reads off of it. I can hang and I can attack. I can hang crossover, hang pull up. So you could just throw it into anything. So it's definitely something I've worked on for years. And it just kind of just comes out naturally.
Yeah. Fast forward into a different topic. Are there any games that you wish you could relive during your college career?
Oh, man. Okay, so I could go back and relive either of the tournament games. Although we lost that last one against Rowan, like the atmosphere, the meaning behind it, the skill level of it, like Rowan was a really good team. That was something that was extremely fun. That game against Babson was really fun. Even that home game last year against Naz was extremely fun for me. I felt like I was just very comfortable in a different mode from the moment that game started. In recent memory, those would be the games that I would revisit in a heartbeat. But I feel like if I think about it a little bit longer, I feel like there's other games I could pick out here and there. I was like, yeah, I would definitely play in that game.
And then are there any games that you look back like, dang, that's really disappointing that happened, or like your biggest disappointment?
The championship game against Naz, that one hurt a lot. And although that one hurt a lot, that was also a very fun game, though. Like, it might seem like contradictory, but like the comeback, the crowd being into it, fighting all the way back, taking a lead, like, my teammates having my back, like when I kind of got into that mode, like telling me like, hey bro, just go, like we got you, just, you know, we're gonna play defense, we're gonna hit shots, and like when you get the ball, rock out. So that was a very fun game to play, but that was a very disappointing. That one definitely stung the most out of really any loss.
That was your senior year, right?
Yeah, that was my senior year. So that was Kobe had just got injured. Playing against you guys actually. So he had got hurt, and that was a huge loss. So it was like we're trying to bounce back off of that. We're trying to make history, going back to back, first conference tournament at home. It was a whole lot just stacking on to each other where we wanted that one bad.
Yeah. So when Kobe goes down with that injury, are you guys switching your style and trying to work with the five that's on there, or are you trying to keep the same style and just go out and win?
We, for the most part, we kept the same style, except going in the half, Coach Coffey was like, okay, he pulled me aside after he talked to everybody, because Kobe couldn't miss the first half. So when he goes down, it's like, oh shit. All right. So we just lost a major part to our team. Me and Kobe was like this close, like crazy duo, crazy chemistry. So it's like, all right, so we lost that part. Coffey pulls me aside and it's like, I need you to go. Okay, cool. So I just looked at him, all right, I got you, say less. So if I remember correctly, I think I left the first half of like 6 points or something like that. Some very calm, four, 6 points. I only took a few shots, was just playing defense, playing my role. And then second half of the game, I left the game with like 24, something like that. He just cut me loose, like go get it. So we worked what we had. That next man up mentality, but at the same time, you know, coach was like, I need you to go put the ball in the bucket. So that was really, you know, one of the main offensive adjustments. He started calling more quick hitters and sets for me, and actions, you know, that had me on the same side, strong side. And I got a rhythm, and once I got going, it was like, all right, let's just keep stacking up stops. So
yeah. And after you guys lose that game to Naz by one, do you think that influenced your decision to come back for a fifth year, or was that already in your head?
That 100% influenced my decision to come back for another year. It was like, so the whole year I was talking, going pro, like that was the goal. I want to go overseas, trying to get all the film I needed. And I had the film, I had the numbers. And it was just after that, it was like, yeah, no, I got to come back. I can't leave on that note. Like, I could not leave on that note. It was too much. Like I didn't sleep like comfortably for a minute. I don't know how long it was, but especially that same night, like I'm sitting straight up, just like staring off into nothing, like, bro, one bucket, just one bucket, one bucket. I replayed that last play in my head so much. It was a hammer screen for me. Actually, Chris was supposed to come off a ball screen, supposed to be a hammer screen for me to catch in the corner and shoot it. And I saw as soon as they were we was getting ready to mount the ball, saw the diamond the ball. I'm sitting here thinking like I should have just went and got the ball, told everybody clear and live with the consequences, make or miss. I'll carry that on my back. It is what it is. But then the other half of me was like, just listen to coach, he's got something drawn up. And I mean, it was just a missed layup and a tip attempt that just rolled around and fell off. So, yeah.
Yeah, nah, that's crazy. But let's take a quick break, real quick. Right, so you currently playing professional in one of the top leagues in Ireland. How do you think that Division Three prepared you to play professional basketball?
D3 prepared me in a lot of ways. Just being able to come in right away and play just let me grow out of a lot of bad habits or bad habits that I might have had coming in, and then getting the proper coaching with good coaching staff for years allowed me to build up good habits offensively and defensively. And it's just there's hoopers at every level. That's why I try to tell people there's a lot of people at D3 who aren't Division three basketball players. That's just where they ended up. So I felt like I've run into a lot of competition like that. So I felt like it isn't much I haven't seen. Especially just being from Florida, in general, growing up and seeing people jumping out the gym and dunking, and then I'm getting to Utica and I'm still seeing the same thing. So it's like it definitely played a big part in preparing me for professional ball.
Yeah, and do you think that there's different a different style of basketball overseas, or is it about the same basketball, just different type of players?
Overseas it is different. It's but it depends on where you're at. So in Ireland, and even other like similar countries, if you're an American, in a lot of situations you're told to just go get an isolation bucket. Like you got to go score the ball. Literally no other statistic means anything but scoring. And then other teams will look at assists and steals and defensive ratings and all that, but the biggest thing is scoring. So iso ball is in certain situations is king.
Fair you. And how's your game been so far?
It's been good. I'm top 5 or 6 right now in averages. In the league I'm averaging about 25. In the last month, my last 4 games, I've been averaging 28 a game. I had a 41-point game a few weeks ago, so it's been good. I've adjusted. I've gotten into a good rhythm, and I've seen a whole bunch of defensive coverages. But that's another thing. Just going back to just D3 preparing me, like I'm playing the Nazes, playing Alfred, playing Fisher, playing. Even Cuca, seeing different defensive styles there with zones and different ball screen coverages and all of that, the whole nine, I sending down. I've seen it all, so it's like when it happens here, it's like, oh, I've seen this before. This is how you beat that. So, yeah.
Now I feel like that's a beauty of Division Three, but specifically in the E8, like there's really an identity for each team. Like you know exactly what you're gonna get. I go to Utica, I know what I'm getting. I go to Naz, I know what they're gonna play like. It's really crazy.
Yeah, it's each team. Yeah, that's really the best way to put it. Like, everybody has their own style of play. They're going to stick to it. And it's like, you're either going to stop it or you're not. Like, Fisher's run the same two guard offense for the 5 years I was there. I can literally walk through it right now. like, through the scout, same with Naz with the dribble drive. And I could even walk through with you guys running with the high lows. Like, every school has their own identity. So it's like, you really see it all. It really prepares you for anything going forward. Yeah,
that's a fact. And then finally, what's like your end goal with basketball? And even after that, when basketball is no longer an option?
So the end goal for me is just, you know, play for 8 to 9 years minimum, stack up as much money I can from it, and, you know, acquire as much knowledge as I can from, you know, wherever I end up. I hope I end up in numerous countries and maybe, you know, hopefully even back in the States at some point. But the end goal is to take all of this and just provide kids with an opportunity with a gym, to get in the gym, provide them with training. So I can feed them the knowledge that I know. Me and my best friend for years, we've been asking or really like praying, like, I wish you could run into, you know, this and run into that. And it's like, you know, in recent years, in the last 2 years, we run into former pros, people who knew people, people who had the expertise and, you know, the gym access to help us improve our bodies and, you know, our skill sets and the whole nine yards. So, and that's really been a blessing, but I want to build a gym and just, you know, take a whole bunch of kids in Tampa or wherever I'm living at, and I'm just like, okay, like, here's a ball. I'm about to give you a whole bunch of knowledge. I'm about to help you build your bag. I'm about to give you game-like scenarios. I'm about to give you a safe space to come in. You know, now everybody here is family. You know, basketball, you run into people, y'all become family from no matter where you're from. So that's what I want to do. And so that's really one of my biggest goals with this.
Yeah, I love that. And I respect you. You got a good head on your shoulders for sure.
Appreciate that, bro.
We're going to end this episode with a little rapid fire and starting five edition. Let me know when you're ready for rapid fire.
Let's run it. All
right. Your favorite food?
Favorite food, my dad's homemade spaghetti.
Heard you. He does anything special with it, or you just always mess with it?
I mean, you know, he does the ground beef instead of the meatballs. So, mm-hmm. Like, you know, that pasta sauce is crazy, bro. I ain't gonna lie. He throws a little pinch of sugar in there, and it's like, ain't too much, but it's
the sugar is what gets it.
A lot of people don't know about the sugar, but that sugar in there make it.
Yeah, that's a fact. All right, your favorite song right now?
Favorite song right now. Walking Minute Maid by Lil Shimmy. It's a Florida thing, bro.
I don't know that.
You don't know, hey, bro. When you put it on, you're gonna hear the beat. Your body gonna start moving, bro. Your body gonna start moving, bro. I promise. That's my favorite song right now.
Heard you. And favorite NBA player?
Damian Lillard.
Dame. Okay, I could kind of see that. Why you like that? Yeah. All right. This starting five edition. So basically, if you were coach of the team and you were assembling a starting five, who would you pick? And this edition is going to be your Utica teammates throughout your career. And just give a little like sentence or two about what you respected or what made this teammate so good.
All right. So at the point guard, I'm going Chris Green. Chris Green was an absolute dog on defense. Probably you could throw him on anybody. And he's going to give him hell. He was probably, honestly, one of the most annoying defenders that I've gone against. The only other defender that I will put up there, may he rest in peace, my young man's Bamba, because he was 6'8 with a crazy wingspan and could move all over the place. But at the one, I'm going to go Chris. Two, I got to go Kobe. Kobe had a ratchet and was shooting from the moment he got over half court. Every time I go in the gym, like, bro, I'm the best shooter in this gym, but Kobe was gonna shoot the ball better than me, bro. Like, he just was. Like, Kobe is extremely consistent from three, and he could create his shot off the dribble. His turnaround fadeaway was it was patented. Like, Kobe had that in his bag down pat. And Kobe was good defensively, too. He was a dog on defense. So he, that was probably an underrated aspect. But he has a very, like, high defensive IQ. I'm going to throw me at the three yes, on the left side. So we got that combo going. The four spot. This is where it gets tough.
You got a tough decision. I'm not even gonna lie.
It's a very tough decision because of all the people that have come through Utica who played at this spot. It's, you know, Avery is extremely crafty. Avery could score the ball. Avery was a really good passer. Underrated on defense. It's between Avery and Tommy, just off the strength that Tommy, when Tommy gets going, he was going to shoot the lights out. I've seen Tommy go games where he's like 11 for 13, but like you will look up and it's like, you have 33? And he'll be like, oh yeah, I had 33, bro. And it's like, why are you at, you had 33. Stop acting like this. Like, you're about to piss me off. Like, you had 33, bro. So, I'm gonna go with Avery though on this, because when it came down to, I feel like a lot of the situations, well, like my junior year we won, it was they went back and forth, but I'm gonna go with Avery there. And at the five, I gotta go Big Ham. Big Ham literally he won us the conference chip my junior year. I'm not even joking, subbed himself in the game. He told Coffee, I'm going into the game.
That's crazy.
Table, subbed himself and scored, like, 10. Scored 10 straight.
Because, like, most coaches probably be like, yo, sit down. Like, you don't run this team.
Yeah, most coaches would be like, yeah, exactly that. Like, what are you doing? He got to the scorer's table. Coffee looked at him, turned away. He went in and scored 10 straight. And that won us the championship. That's so insane. Yeah, that's the five. And then at, you know, honorable mentions, I'll throw in Tommy. I would throw in Tommy, I would throw in Dayon, and I'll throw in Justice. Justice was with healthy Justice is a very, very, very good. He wasn't healthy for like 95% of the time he's there. I believe he's fully healthy now. And so he's taking on a bigger role. And Dayon is that's like my mini me. He's the sophomore right now, like in the same position I was my sophomore year, but he's getting to it.
No, that's tough. That's a good lineup for sure. And is there any way, like, are there links and stuff to your games playing over there in Italy?
Yeah, there are links. So we play on basketballireland.tv. I think it's like 45 or something for the whole you got to pay for your account, because then you get access to every single game. Word. But yeah, there are links. And then, you know, it's a 5-hour time difference, so we play at like 7, usually 7:15 ish, so it'll be like two your time.
Now I'm gonna need to tap in for sure. I
got you. I got you, bro. I'll send you that link. You know, you can see how the game's looking. And yeah, it's definitely something.
Heard you. But I'll do it for another episode of Not Even D2. I appreciate your time, my boy.
Appreciate you, bro. Definitely glad we did this. I definitely, you know, had a good time, enjoyed myself talking ball. And yeah, I mean, yes, in my mind, whenever we can do this whenever.
That's valid.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.